I want to get your thoughts on some Vancouver, some Calgary, some Maple Leaf things, some Eichel things as well. But before we get there, Mark Chipman and Kevin Cheveldayoff spoke yesterday, and even just by way of tone, it sounded a lot different than specifically Chipman, who it seemed, you know, had to really stop and compose himself a couple of different times. The tone of yesterday, regardless of what they said, and we can get into that, the tone yesterday was much different than we've seen before.
Yes, and I think that really, I mean, that was very noticeable. Like, Jeff, I don't know if any minds are getting changed, but people definitely noticed a different tone. You know, basically, the Winnipeg Jets, because they did it a day later than the NHL, they had a day to see kind of what happened and read the room. Yeah. The tone of their media conference was different. Rick Westhead was the first journalist not in the room who was on the Zoom call to be allowed to ask a question. And then they circled back to him again later. It's almost like everything, they saw what happened Monday and they said, we're going to do this. We're going to make sure that we have a different tone on Tuesday. And like I said, I don't know how many minds were changed. I think a lot of people have made their opinions very clear on this, but they definitely tried to do better. And, you know, I got to tell you, I had a number of lawyers reach out to me by DM. And like you and I, you know, we talked a lot about it at the podcast yesterday. We didn't like the tone of the NHL media conference. You know, I don't think we were alone. I think a lot of people feel that way. I had a number of lawyers reaching out and saying, well, you have to understand that that's the reason the answers were why they were. And I said, I think there's still a way you can do it. But, you know, I just thought that that was, you know, interesting that, you know, people were reaching out with that.
You know, I thought one of the you know, that was one of the points that I was making yesterday going into the program, saying, like, I don't know what we expected to hear or how we expected to hear it. But at the end of the day, Gary Bettman, Bill Daly are a couple of lawyers, and they're concerned about further lawsuits and not wanting anything they say to be read aloud in court one day. So perhaps we shouldn't have been surprised, although I think a lot of people, to your point, were disappointed at what the commissioner and deputy commissioner A had to say, and B, how they delivered it. But we shouldn't have been surprised by it whatsoever. One of the things that, you know, Kevin Cheveldayoff talked about, and I think this is going to be a recurring theme, and it is certainly a theme from Sheldon Kennedy himself, you know, the term empowered bystander, I think, is something we're going to hear a lot more of in the NHL. Like there were commitments made both by Cheveldayoff and specifically by Mark Chipman, and Chipman's, you know, Chipman saying that he's going to use his influence in the National Hockey League to A, recognize systemic problems, and B, go about changing them. Like, we heard a lot from the commissioner about, you know, creating networks where everyone in hockey can participate and make sure that everybody has tools. Chipman came out yesterday and said, look, I acknowledge there is a significant problem here, and I'm going to use my power to any leverage that I have in my position in the game to make things better. And I think the only way we can look at that is, Elliot, show it, prove it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
that's what we're all waiting for now. But there was that A, acknowledgement of an issue, and B, a promise of performance. And now we'll see how they come through. It's been a while since you and I spoke about hockey on the ice. Let's do that now.
Okay.
The out of all the games last night, and there were 9 of them, the sequence with Thatcher Demko against the Rangers,
yes,
killing off the 5-on-3, killing off the 5-on-4, loses his stick, loses his blocker as well. I think you got to really hand it. I think you got to really hand it to Tucker Pullman as well, who was running all over trying to jump in front of shots too. But that Thatcher Demko image is the main one that I will take away from last night. What about you?
Well, first of all, that was a great final 20 minutes in overtime. Like, just what a game between the Rangers and the Canucks. Fantastic drama and theater. And I know we're on in Vancouver right now. And I want an honest answer from Canuck media and fans. How many of you had a draft of 15 fire everybody tweets ready to be sent out when the Canucks were about to lose? So all I'm of sure... you did. I know all of you had them. I know you were writing. You spent the third period writing them, and they were in your drafts, and you couldn't wait for the final buzzer to hit send tweet.
So I got. I'm not going to say who I got this text from, but I will read it to you. This is at the end of the first period from someone there. Travis Green talk is going to start soon if this bleep doesn't turn around quick.
And then, that was a tweet. That was going to be a tweet.
That was going to be a tweet or something last night from people in Vancouver. But you're right. Like that last, the last half of the game, I mean, the Vancouver Canucks came alive, and that was a battle of two of the best goaltenders in the NHL. And, you know, I was thinking about Thatcher Demko after
people
were
actually
that.
Tweeting. People are actually tweeting previews of their tweets. They're like, "I if this is an end, you got to wait to see what I've got for the post game." Like, oh, like, you know, I was watching this. I was laughing. First time I've laughed in a week.
We all needed a good one. And thanks to everyone who tweeted those things last night, because they became good comedy fodder. I think coming away from that game last night, and Thatcher Demko has been fantastic, like this season.
Yeah,
he's been great.
He's excellent.
And we're talking a lot about Connor Hellebuck in the Olympics, and we're talking about John Gibson as well.
Yep.
And I know perhaps best case scenario, Demko goes in there as the third. But I got to be honest with you, you know, watching that performance last night and watching how Thatcher Demko has played this season, I don't know, would it be... Should we be including him in the conversation, not of
Absolutely.
The top three, but the top two for Team USA?
Well, play dictates, right? And first of all, I'm with you. I think Demko's an excellent goalie, and I think he's perfectly capable of being the number one goalie for Team USA. I definitely feel that way. But if he keeps playing great and he keeps carrying the Canucks or leading the Canucks, why can't he be the number one guy? Mm-hmm. You know, like I don't see any reason that like you're not going in there saying we're going to ease someone necessarily into this. We got to declare someone at least at the beginning, or have a rotation that makes sense at the beginning and go. And I don't see any reason Demko can't be that guy. As good as Gibson is and as good as Hellebuck is, there's no reason he can't be the guy.
That's what I was going to go with Gibson. I'm not sure how much of the Anaheim, New Jersey game you watched yesterday, but, you know, Troy Terry was good again, 9-game point streak, 2 goals last night. And John Gibson, you know, throws the bagel at the New Jersey Devils. Gibson almost started this year by saying, not in words, but in performance, I want that number one job at the Olympics.
Yeah. Hellebuck on the first night, and he's fighting all the Jets who don't even touch him. These guys, they're competitive. When you're in a when you're an elite level athlete like these people are, you're competitive, and you only want to win NHL games. You want to go play at the Olympics. To me, the Olympics is a big sub factor on the top of the NHL season. How many players do you think have gone flying out of the chute to play in the Olympics?
And you know what? And you know who I feel really bad for because of it?
Who's that?
Jacob Chychrun. Because Jacob Chychrun may have been considered, you know, an outsider or someone on the bubble to make a team, and he's mired in this horrible... Arizona's last 10 games in a row. I feel horrible for him.
They've got to be smarter than that. And I would expect they would be. You can't blame this on Chychrun. Like,
I am not. Here's my point.
I know what you're saying. I do know what you're saying. You're saying that his spot might be grinded down by what Arizona's doing. I think if you're coaching that team, Team Canada, another thing too is Doug Armstrong, the GM, he's in the same division as Arizona is. And remember last year they played Arizona in that 7-game series right in a row. He's seen enough of Jeff Chychrun to know that this should not reflect on him. If you put him on a team that's going to have Team Canada in it, and he's going to be surrounded by Team Canada quality players, I think you understand what you're getting there.
Here's my only issue about Jacob Chychrun is he's playing on a losing team that's never in games. There's no bright spots. I have a hard time believing that doesn't have an effect on a player. Like, you know, we talk about trade deadline time. Players that get traded from non-playoff teams and they haven't. You know, when do you start preparing for the playoffs? Like January, maybe some players December, start getting your house in order, make sure everything's like all eyes are already on the playoffs. Once it becomes established, your team is going to be there. When you're a team that's out of it as quickly as Arizona has put themselves out of the season, my only concern if I'm Jacob Chychrun is what effect does it have on me? Like he'll be the pro and he'll put on the brave face and he'll show up and 110% and all the cliches. I just have a hard time believing that doesn't have an effect on a player.
Losing does, but I think this year is unique because you have that Olympic goal there. I have no doubt people are in Chychrun's ear saying, "Eyes on the prize, eyes on the prize," and that prize is the Olympics.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Especially
a Hockey Canada guy like Tournier. Like, you know, so for example, last night I see all of these. Like someone sent me a text after the game last night, Toronto Vegas, and says, "Boy, Pietrangelo wasn't very good tonight," and I'm like, I don't see that. I see a guy who looks at how many people are injured and he's trying to do way too much. He is trying to make plays because he sees how that one is slipping away from them. And and nobody's going to say that Pietrangelo, like if Vegas really struggles here without all these players, nobody's going to say that about Pietrangelo, that, you know, it's a drag on him or he should be in question or anything like that. I look at it the same way with Chychrun. You know, Arizona, I probably shouldn't admit this, but I'll admit this anyway. I've kind of been betting on them a little bit, like my big bet last year on the Jets to finally win their first game in the NFL. I've been kind of like, and like every game, it's like it's 0-0 in the third period. and they can't score, so, you know, they lose. But, you know, you're kind of like, you know, you're kind of like sooner or later, like they're in their games, not all of them. Some of them have been blowouts, but in a lot of their games recently, they've kind of been there and they just, you know, I just find in over 60 minutes when you're built like they are and you're playing these teams like Philly or Washington, you think that the odds get better, that you might pull the upset if it stays 0-0 later in games, but those teams are just so much better that they believe they're going to find a way. It's a tough way to play. It really is.
Real quick, Pittsburgh Penguins just announcing this on their Twitter. Mike Sullivan confirming Sidney Crosby, Brian Dumoulin missing practice after testing positive for COVID-19. Both are in COVID protocol right now. Crosby with mild symptoms. Dumoulin is currently asymptomatic.
So if mild symptoms, and I'm not looking at the protocols right now, but I wonder if you show symptoms, does that mean you have to be out for 10 days? I'll have to check.
Yeah.
Mild symptoms, like, I don't know how that flies in the overall. I don't have the protocols right in front of me.
Is that the COVID version?
Because I know if you have symptoms, it's 10 days if you're symptomatic. So I'd have to check and see. I don't know if you can get away with that or not.
Calgary Flames last night drop one to the Nashville Predators, who don't look now, have won four games in a row. They announced today they'll retire the number of Pekka Rinne. Congratulations.
I think
safe to say one of our favorite goaltenders and people in the game when he played as well. Matthew Shane with the overtime winner there. Calgary is very much in the conversation, as we've talked about before, along with the Vegas Golden Knights that you just referenced a second ago in the Jack Eichel sweepstakes. How would you... the best way to couch this, how would you define the last, I don't know, 10 days as the Buffalo Sabres try to trade Jack Eichel and CA tries to help on-ramp a trade with their client, Jack Eichel? How would you describe it?
Well, I got a long direct message from a Sabres fan a couple of days ago saying, "You're torturing us with these, they're close, they're not close reports." So I'm really trying to go easy on the Sabres fans. Look, I think I told you this. I don't remember a lot of what I've said the last couple of days about this. On Friday, there were people who believed the deal was going to get done with Vegas, and it obviously didn't happen. You know, Emily reported last night that they were on the 1-yard line, And but I also had people say, like, there's no guarantees the way that this has gone. I did have someone say to me they thought they could wake up potentially today and see something get done. But there have been times in this process where people thought it was close and it didn't happen. So it's a roller coaster. There's no question about it. One thing I do believe is that there are teams engaged. I do believe that there have been legitimate attempts to make a deal. But, you know, I mean, you got to get it done. I think one thing that may have happened that has kind of changed the situation a bit is Buffalo's start. And I think there was a time they were looking for all futures and or mostly futures. And now I think there's a chance they may be interested in somebody who could help them a little bit now. So it's tough to say where this all is. I know it's a real, I know it's a roller coaster, but I do think there are legitimate attempts to try and get a deal done with the background that, you know, I especially think, as you mentioned, his agents and the player want this to be over. Like they want to get his surgery so that things can, he can start working towards coming back.
How much is the salary retention issue holding all of it up?
It was an issue. There's no question about it. And the Sabres have made it very clear they don't want to retain any. I think that adds to the complicated nature of the deal, obviously.
Speaking of deals, we didn't get a chance to talk about this yesterday. Adam Fox with the New York Rangers, 7 years, $66.5 million, AAV of 9.5. So as people have said, there are some defensemen out there that don't make as much as the Norris Trophy winner. This one looks to me like a win for the New York Rangers.
Well, $35 million up front in the first 3 years.
Yep.
Look, I mean, put it, it's a win for Fox and it's a win for the Rangers. You know, Fox is going to be able to take care of generations and he wanted, look, this is a guy who stood up for himself and said, I'm going to use the system to my advantage because I want to be a New York Ranger. Do you think that anything has changed in the 2 or 3 years since? You think there's any reason to believe that this guy wants to be anywhere else? Of course, the answer is zero chance. He wants to be a New York Ranger. You know, like, could he have gotten more? Absolutely, 100%. He could have gotten more, but he's where he is. He's happy where he is. And, you know, like he's got a great deal. You know, the Rangers are going to have some interesting tap dancing to do cap wise, and they'll have to figure out some situations, but you sign your best players for as long as you can because they're your best players.
The best and worst case scenario right now for the Rangers is Kaapo Kakko explodes and gets hot. Great, because the player is actualized. B, we got to do some dancing with our cap.
Yes, you know, that's the thing. Like, at the end, you know, like, if you have cap problems, a lot of the time, there's only two reasons you have cap problems. One, you've made mistakes on the cap, or two, you have a lot of good players.
Yeah.
I think in the Rangers' case right now, it's because you have a lot of good players. So you just have to find a way to make that work.
Speaking of good players, Pierre-Luc Dubois, seventh goal, Mark Scheifele with some heroics yesterday as well. I know they've had their struggles. Where are you at on the Winnipeg Jets right now, Elliot?
Well, I was really bullish on them at the beginning of the year. You know, that's a huge win last night without Hellebuck there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Dallas, you know, I like their team. I like, you know, I look, they got off to a bad start. They lost, you know, Wheeler due to COVID. They kind of went through a situation and a scare there where you're worried if it's going to have more players with it. I still like their team. I think they, it looks like they've kind of stabilized themselves. Like that kind of win last night, while you're, you know, the top of your franchise is in turmoil and your number one goaltender is not playing, like that's a good win. That's a win that you look at your team and you say, we've got something here. You feel very good about yourself after that victory.
Ottawa Senators now all of a sudden have lost five of the last six. Kirill Kaprizov with the OT Heroics, 5-4. Minnesota Wild winning that one. But I wanted to circle back real quick, and I'll talk with Mike Zeisberger a little deeper on Maple Leafs issues here. But do you have a thought on what we saw last night? 4-0, Jack Campbell with the shutout, Matthews with a pair of goals, the second and third. You mentioned Alex Pietrangelo trying to do a ton of heavy lifting for this team that, you know, just to put it bluntly, is really banged up. This is a really injured Vegas Golden Knights team right now.
Yeah, you have to grind your way through it until people get back. You know, one man's injury is another man's opportunity. The old Daryl Walker quote, the Raptor head coach. You have to look at it that way. You have to tighten up. You know, Toronto took advantage. Their best players saw a wounded opponent, and they took advantage of it. You know, I think if you're Toronto, you're sitting there, you're seeing Marner smiling again after, you know, games with back-to-back goals. You know, he's so much of what makes it go for them. You know, I think that because he is the facilitator, the playmaker in a lot of ways, that when he's struggling, and we saw it at the end of their playoff series, other people kind of go down with him, for lack of a better term, because he creates so much. So when you see him with that confidence and you see him feeling good about himself, I mean, it's huge for them. Now, they've got a couple of big games coming up, so we'll see. But all you can do is win the game on your schedule, and it's not your fault the opponent's playing hurt. Now, one other thing about Toronto, you know, Kipper reported yesterday that they're underway in extension talks with Jack Campbell, and obviously he's right. There's no reason to doubt he's right. He's right. I do think also Toronto has let it be known that they might be interested in potentially doing something with their blue line. I think that I don't know exactly what has been said, but I think they've kind of let it be known that one of their D who plays on the right side could be available. And I would suspect that's potentially Dermott, but I don't know if they've actually identified the player. I don't, obviously it's not Brody or Riley or, I'm sorry, I'm getting all my sides mixed up, and I don't think it's Hall or anything like that, even though he's been struggling. I kind of suspect it's Dermott, but I don't know for sure.
Liljegren would be the other one, but he's
played well lately.
Yeah.
He's younger. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how it would work, but there's something going on there.
All right. We'll wait on that one. Okay. Excellent, Friege. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful afternoon. Thanks as always, pal.
All right, Jeff. Have a good day.